This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day, despite the fact that there is sobering news on the economy. The Fed chairman makes a statement, boom, the stock market is down by over 500 points. Does that mean we are headed toward civil war? A New York Times columnist thinks that's true. We are. It's a civil war between Republicans and Democrats. Republicans say the Democrats don't care about all those Americans who have lost their jobs because America's shut down. The Democrats say Republicans, and Trump in particular, don't care about all those people who are going to die because of a recurrence of coronavirus. Can we at least stipulate that decent people, whether you're Republican or Democratic, care very much about people losing their jobs, losing their livelihoods, losing their life savings? You care about that. And yes, you also care about people losing their lives. Is it possible to strike a balance? A lot of people point to the Sweden example. We're going to take a quick look at the Sweden example because it's not at all what you think. We'll also take a look at some of the latest statements from Vice President Biden. I mean, look, there's one thing that happened for him that I think is positive. He seems to have put together a series of committees, one of which prominently involves Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, to try to work together with the Bernie wing of the party on a series of issues. But then again, he also claims, in a truly absurd statement, that the people who are getting hurt economically from coronavirus are hardworking Democrats. But sure, there are hardworking Democrats who are getting hurt. There are hardworking Republicans. Basically, everybody is getting hurt by the coronavirus economy. Isn't that obvious? Not just here, but around the world. And there is some good news on the entertainment front. No, not opening up of theaters, but, well, kind of the next best thing regarding the most successful musical of all time. It's sort of surprising news. We'll bring that to you. And on the not-so-happy front of entertainment, there is going to be a special on one of the cable networks about coronavirus, where they have been able to secure the services of one of the premier medical experts, one of the most distinguished scientists and researchers on pandemics that you could possibly find. A 17-year-old, I guess she's 18 now, 18-year-old Greta Thunberg. Yeah, she is going, she's going to be explaining to us, I am sure, why coronavirus is because of climate change or something. We will get to that as well, too. Oh, and we have a number of very special guests. Stephen Moore, economic advisor to the president, the author of Trumponomics, is joining Steve Forbes in putting together a new organization. And it's a very blue chip organization with a lot of terrific people involved in it. And it's called the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. So how do you do that? We'll be talking to Steve Moore about that. We'll also be talking to Professor John Yoo, who was a member of the Bush administration, as was Bill Barr, the attorney general. He was a member of the previous Bush administration, the first President Bush. John Yoo will speak out on what is going on right now with the Michael Flynn charges, and also the idea that some of the lockdown restrictions may be infringing on people's constitutional rights. We'll be speaking to him as well. And then the question of changing this election in a fundamental way. Why? Getting rid of in-person voting. Is that a way that the Democrats hope to steal the election? We'll be talking to John Fund about that. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. First off, look, anybody who knows anything about American history, and I hope that you all do, and I assume that you all do, know that despite what people may say, this is very, very far from the worst moment in American history. And the worst moment in American history, people, I think, can concede, was this Civil War, was when Americans were killing each other at a prodigious rate. We were at the time a country of 32 million people, and 700,000 people died on the battlefield and from wounds sustained on the battlefield. That's an unbelievable number if you think about it. And the destruction and the economic ruination, the Civil War was awful. So when somebody says we are facing a new civil war, I normally sort of shunt it aside. But a double Pulitzer Prize winner, and I know, the Pulitzer Prize is grossly devalued when they hand it out for things and scams like the 1619 Project. But Thomas L. Friedman is occasionally interesting and insightful. But today he has a column that begins, having a pandemic is really bad. Having a pandemic and a civil war together is really, really bad. I think he's right. So what kind of civil war is he talking about? Let me give you one example of that kind of civil war. And you can hear it. This is the brother of the guy who's supposed to be the most admired politician in America right now. That's Andrew Cuomo. His brother, Chris Cuomo, is on CNN. And Chris Cuomo had this to say about the situation we're in. I think it's outrageous. If you support it, you can give us a call at 1-800-955-1776. Here is Chris Cuomo on CNN.
The president's thing is about being anti-elitist. His buddies over on Fox State TV, anti-elitist. 10,000 deaths are the price tag that their model puts on this. Talk about being elitist. If that's okay, who do you think those 10,000 people are going to be? Who's getting affected the most? The working class, the brown working class. Who's most afraid of reopening too soon? The brown working class. Who's getting sick the most? The brown working class. Who's dying the most? They are. There's nothing elitist about that. It's everything that's elitist.
Okay. This is almost a mirror image of a line that some Republicans are using. And first of all, I don't know what Chris Cuomo is talking about. When he talks about a 10,000 more deaths from coronavirus, right now the modeling, which is done by the Institute for Health Metrics Evaluation at University of Washington, that's the model the administration uses, that's the model they use around the world. Their modeling has gone up. They estimate that we're going to have far, far, far from the 85,000 deaths we've had so far and counting, and it's not going to be 10,000 more, and it's not going to be 20,000 more. It's going to be at least 45,000 more who die, and that is a reality of the pandemic. And the idea of trying to blame that on government policy or lack of government policy or one thing or another, this is ridiculous. You'll also notice he's trying to racialize it like the Democrats do with everything. This is the brown working class. Now, on the other side, Mark Thiessen, who's a friend of this show, he's a former speechwriter to President Bush, Washington Post columnist. He writes, the Biden campaign is hoping the COVID-19 pandemic will serve as a break on the populism that propelled Donald Trump to the White House. In a time of crisis, the Democratic thinking goes, Americans will lose their appetite for political disruptors and come to a renewed appreciation for the steady hand of experts who can guide us through the storm. And then he writes, if anything, the opposite is likely to be true. When the after-action reports for the pandemic are written, the elites are not going to come out looking very good. Why is America in lockdown today? because despite more than 15 years of warnings that a pandemic was coming, the political establishment in Washington failed to prepare for its arrival. Only President Trump, Mark Thiessen writes, cares about working people and their future and welfare in this country. We will get to that argument, where we go from there, and also how do we bring back prosperity? That and more on the... Politicians and the media will never mention one of the biggest challenges facing the health and well-being of every American, the explosion of junk science in our country. That's why I'm so grateful for the American Council on Science and Health, a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. You've probably heard all sorts of junk science about red meat causing cancer or climate change destroying all life on Earth. Thankfully, ACSH fights back, but they need your help. Visit the website today, acsh.org.
During this time, perhaps more than ever, we're looking for things to binge watch, read, and listen to, because we're spending more time at home than ever before. So here at the MedVed Show, we want to extend a special offer to listeners right now who've not yet taken the leap to become a MedHead Premium subscriber. If you go to michaelmedved.com, click on the MedHead banner, and use the promo code SPRING40, you'll get $20 off an annual membership. In addition to that, for new members or existing MedHead members, we've discounted everything at the MedVed History Store by 50%.
Did you know precious metals have a solid history of outperforming the stock market during tough economic times? Chatting with my good friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, he warned me there are severe shortages of gold, silver, and platinum right now. Now, many dealers have nothing to sell. So right now, AmFed is helping hundreds of people acquire bullion. They're open for business with some staff working from home, and they can lock you in precious metals at a very fair price. Nick has been in the industry for over 40 years. He knows the intricacies of every market condition, what to buy now, and what you should avoid. He's the only person, really, that I trust for solid advice and the one person you need to talk to about this situation. Call AmFed Coin and Bullion at 800-221-7694 or visit AmericanFederal.com. That's AmericanFederal.com or 800-221-7694.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Michael Medved Show, talking about a civil war. Are we in the midst of such a thing? Is there a profound conflict going on in this country between those who want to save lives and those who want to save jobs? Or isn't the best way to save jobs to save lives? Don't they actually go together? They certainly should. And honestly, I think the efforts by various politicians and commentators and agitators and sometimes out-and-out fraudsters to polarize opinion, to make it sound like there is a choice here between condemning people to horrible death and the painful throes of COVID-19, to make it a choice between that and destroying everybody's jobs and having a constant series of restrictions that government imposes on the populace, it's not a choice of either or, one or the other. And the example of that, in a perverse way, is illustrated by what is really a very alarming example of Sweden. We will get to that in just a moment. I was mentioning Mark Thiessen, who's a very smart guy and has a very effective column. And it's a column blasting the Democrats and who believe that somehow people will want to go back to government by experts, by the people who know best, by people who are thoughtful and restrained. And he says elitist. And he says that if anything, the pandemic and all the economic destruction surrounding it has discredited our elites more than ever before. He says, we're now experiencing the worst economic devastation since the Great Depression. That's true, especially today. Things look awful today with a statement by the Fed chairman, Jerome Powell. We'll get to that. He says, we are now experiencing the worst economic devastation since the Great Depression, with more than 33 million Americans losing their jobs in just 6 weeks. The brunt of the damage is not being borne by the elites who work in the information economy, but by those at the middle and the bottom of the economic ladder. The forgotten Americans who were finally doing better under President Trump until this crisis arrived. Before the pandemic, writes Mark Thiessen, the U.S. economy had added 500,000 manufacturing jobs, and low-wage workers were experiencing the fastest pay increases. Most of that progress has been totally wiped out. Now these Americans see the same elites dismissing their suffering once again, insisting we must continue draconian lockdown measures that are putting them on the brink of financial ruin. They see the contempt of the media elites who mock the anti-lockdown protests taking place across the country and who heap scorn on President Trump for his focus on reopening the economy. The message they get is, the elites don't understand the utter devastation I am experiencing, but Trump does. And the very last paragraph of his column, he says, the idea that Americans are going to reward the elites who failed so miserably to prepare for and manage this pandemic is a fantasy. To the contrary, the longer this lockdown continues, the more likely it is we will experience a growing populist rebellion against the elites who insist we must continue to impose wreckage on the economy indefinitely. Indeed, the forgotten Americans whose lives and livelihoods are being annihilated may well decide that they're has never been more need for disruption in Washington than there is today. I'll tell you why that doesn't work and why I think that Mark Thiessen, though, I think he's talking very well about the very real public resentment, hatred, fury at people who think of themselves as better than other Americans, who think of themselves as beyond the normal concerns of working Americans. Now, of course, people have always despised that and resented it, but now particularly, he's right. But here's the difficulty. When you want a disruptor is when things are going really, really badly. And the person you want to disrupt most is the guy on top. What happens if you have a disruptor on top, but none of the optimistic predictions that President Trump has made, and he makes them every single day, that if those optimistic predictions about getting the virus under control and getting the economy restarted, if they don't pan out? And frankly, you have here the real example of Sweden, which shows that, okay, they didn't do a lockdown. And they didn't do a lockdown for two reasons. And I've been reading about it, and it's fascinating, because they did not have a stupid approach. It was a simplistic approach. It was a balanced and intriguing approach. Their idea was, okay, we're going to urge people to be cautious, particularly older people who are more vulnerable. They're not going to go out. But everybody else, they allow the schools to continue. Not these schools for high school and above. College and university, they suspended. But the other schools, people are going to school. People are going to work. They're going to factories. They're busy. But here is the story. What this has produced has been both an economic and a health disaster. First of all, when it comes to the key measure of how a country is doing, Sweden's doing much worse than the United States. They have 328 deaths per million people. In the U.S., we have 250. And compared to Denmark and Norway right next door, they have eight times the death rate of Norway, which has a tight lockdown. They have four times the death rate, four times, of Denmark, which has a tight lockdown. And they have economic damage that is just as bad. Now, why is that? It's because the rate of sickness and illness and death has scared people away from going out to those restaurants. Sure, the restaurants are open, but what good does it do if a restaurant's open? Nobody wants to go to it. And that, it seems to me, is the real threat of opening up prematurely and forgetting about the very real fears that Americans have. Because, for instance, the airline industry has just been totally devastated. I mean, there are thousands and thousands of people who have been laid off. And you think about all the people with airline jobs or airport jobs. It's a big chunk of the economy, and it's devastated. But you know what? They could remove all restrictions on flights and getting on flights, and people still won't get on them. I was talking to someone I know, don't want to say who it is, about what a good time this is to actually fly and, hey, come out to Seattle. Weather's been pretty great. We seem to have gotten the virus under some kind of control. Oh, no. This potential traveler wouldn't even think of getting on a plane right now. And that, it seems to me, is a difficulty. There's a report by CNBC. Sweden had no lockdown, but its economy is expected to suffer far more badly than its European neighbors. That would be the other Nordic countries. We will get to more of that. When we come back, Professor John Yoo of University of California, on what's happening with Mike Flynn, the president, and the judge stepping right in the middle of this dispute. Coming right up on the MedVant Show.
Attention, gardeners. If you need to grow nutritionally dense vegetables or medicinal herbs this year, listen, because a bioactive superfood for plants is now available. This all-natural superfood for plants is so effective at producing maximum plant growth in minimum time that it almost forces plants to grow, even under the worst light and soil conditions. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's truly remarkable. Vegetables grow faster and contain more bioavailable vitamins and trace minerals. Plants that rarely bloom will flower constantly. Sickly plants become vibrantly alive. Medicinal herbs become super potent. Flowers become more vivid right before your very eyes. ProtoGrow also improves the taste quality of all your garden vegetables. That's because it's more than just an all-natural superfood for plants. It's a proprietary blend of bioactive sea nutrients that contain the basic building blocks of life itself, which is why ProtoGrow even renews your garden by increasing the microorganisms in the soil. Learn more at growlikecrazy.com. That's growlikecrazy.com. Get special pricing for network listeners right now at growlikecrazy.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Republicans are not thrilled with the coronavirus stimulus bill introduced in the House.
Speaker Pelosi is stuck at Christmas time. I guess the coronavirus has got, pandemic shutdown has got her done. This is just a Christmas tree bill that means nothing and doesn't help anybody.
That's Georgia Republican Congressman Doug Collins speaking on Fox News. The White House also responding to the bill with White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany explaining that the bill imposes federal mandates on how states run elections by eliminating ID requirements for in-person voting. The bill also states illegal immigrants doing essential jobs will not be deported. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in Israel talking with the country's top leaders.
We'll certainly talk about the challenges the globe faces with COVID, Israeli technology, Israeli medical expertise, all of the things that you and I and our teams can work on together.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm here with Scott Jusseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Christine Blasey Ford claimed to have been groped by Justice Kavanaugh when he was a drunken 17-year-old. Tara Reid insists Joe Biden assaulted her when he was a 50-year-old senator and her boss. Moreover, the first time Dr. Ford ever spoke to anyone about her allegations came 30 years after the purported event, in conversation with her therapist, while Reid discussed her charges with at least four friends or family members in the same year they allegedly occurred. In neither case does it make sense to disqualify a candidate for high office based solely on dubious long-ago charges by a single accuser. Applying that standard to Biden means the Democrats should acknowledge the far flimsier grounds they had for attempting to destroy Justice Kavanaugh. On the Michael Medved Show, a lot of people assume that, the Justice Department has taken what has been a widely praised move to drop prosecution of General Michael Flynn. He had pleaded guilty twice to giving false answers to the FBI, but it's not over. And to help us understand why it's not over, let me welcome to the show a friend of the show, I'm very proud to say, Professor John Yoo, who is the Emanuel Heller Professor of Law and Director of the Korea Law Center at the California Constitution Center and the Bolt Hall Law School's Program in Public Law and Policy. He's at the University of California, Berkeley. His most recent books are Striking Power, How Cyber, Robots, and Space Weapons Change the Rules for War. He was an advisor and a legal aide to President George W. Bush. He's also a visiting scholar at American Enterprise Institute and a visiting fellow at the Hoover Institution. Okay, with all of that background, maybe you can explain what is it that Judge Emmett Sullivan, appellate court judge, has to do before they actually get rid of these charges and wipe out this guilty plea from General Flynn. In what way is Judge Sullivan still involved?
Well, Michael, thanks for having me back on the show. It's always a pleasure. Judge Sullivan has the right to give a thumbs up or a thumbs down on whether the Justice Department can withdraw the prosecution, although I think it'd be extraordinary if a judge actually refused to allow the case to be dropped. He would actually be interfering, I think, with the executive branch's sole constitutional authority to see that the laws are faithfully executed and to exercise prosecutorial discretion. Usually this is a This is a pro forma thing that judges, Judge Sullivan is a trial judge here in Washington, D.C. It's usually a pro forma thing when the parties want to withdraw. It's just trying, you want to make sure there's nothing untoward or corrupt going on. And here, I don't think that's the case. I think actually what happened here was the right move by the Justice Department. But nonetheless, Judge Sullivan's doing something extraordinary. He's saying, I'm not going to bless this agreement to drop the case right away. I'm going to let third parties come in. And I invite members of the public to submit their briefs, and I'm going to listen before I decide to do this. It's a very unusual step, but I think in the end, the Justice Department will drop the charges because they can't be forced to keep prosecuting somebody. And Judge Flynn will finally be free from this cloud of prosecution for lying. Yeah.
Oh, you mean General Flynn will be free?
Yes, I'm sorry. General Flynn will be free from this cloud.
Apparently, there are 2,000 former Justice Department FBI officials who signed an open letter that Justice Sullivan just received, which is highly critical of Barr's decision to abandon the prosecution. And in the letter, these 2,000 former Justice and Department FBI officials who are named say, if anyone else who is not a friend of the president were to lie to federal investigators in the course of a properly predicated counterintelligence investigation and admit that he did so under oath, he could be prosecuted, the letter said. And what do you make of the fact 2,000 former Justice Department officials is a pretty good showing this quickly, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I will note that the same group of lawyers have signed letters in the past, very critical of Attorney General Barr, calling him to resign for other decisions, such as his decision not to prosecute the president for obstruction of justice after the Mueller probe. But I also think the letter's wrong, and it's exactly the phrase you quoted, Michael. It said, if you lied in connection with a properly predicated investigation, you could be prosecuted. That's totally correct. The problem here is that this U.S. attorney down in Missouri who conducted his own investigation of this whole thing found that there was no proper investigation of General Flynn. And I don't want to get excessively technical, but, you know, it's not the FBI's job to run around the country just trying to catch people for lying. I mean, if that was their job in Washington, D.C. alone with our elected politicians, they would need seven times the workforce they have now just to catch all the lying that's going on. It's not the job of the FBI. You catch people out for lying when you're investigating them for something else. There has to be a crime. And I think it's hard to say General Flynn committed any crime here. Or there was a counterintelligence investigation. And now the problem for the people who signed this letter is that if you look at the filings the Justice Department dropped last week, there's a document in there that shows that the FBI at the end of December, early January, had decided to close any investigation in General Flynn. They said there's no evidence to show that he's involved with any kind of broader Russia collusion. And it was only these FBI aides, Jim Comey and his tight circle of advisors, who suddenly decided to keep it open so they could try to trick General Flynn into lying.
Let me ask you this, Professor Hugh. Do you think that President Trump made the right decision to fire General Flynn just 3 weeks into his service as National Security Advisor?
I actually think the president and General Flynn both made mistakes in how they responded to this. I wish that President Trump had not fired General Flynn, but instead had made public the transcript of the phone call between Flynn and the Russian ambassador. If you remember, that's the claim that the FBI made about General Flynn's lying, that he had lied about whether he'd mentioned sanctions in his phone call with Ambassador Kislyak during the transition.
But then he had also lied, apparently, to the incoming Vice President Mike Pence.
That's the claim. But when you go back again, look at the documents, and they show that the FBI agents who actually interviewed Flynn didn't think he lied. He could have talked about 10 different issues with the Russian ambassador, and maybe one sentence was about sanctions. General Flynn's a busy guy, and if you look at it, he sort of says, I forgot, I'm not sure. He didn't even know he's being interviewed. as a target of any kind of investigation. He thought he was talking to FBI agents as part of his job as national security advisor. You would normally talk to the FBI. I wish that had all been made public at the time and we could see, and then we would have realized that this was all nothing. The second thing is I wish General Flynn had not pled guilty, because I actually think there's 2,000 Justice Department lawyers and alums who signed this letter. Their real beef is not with the way that there was no real predicate of an investigation. I think they've got to agree there wasn't now. But what they're really upset about is I think General Flynn pled guilty and went into open court twice and said, I'm guilty, I understand. And so that's the really unusual part of this, is to drop a prosecution after someone has already pled. But I still think that's the right thing to do. But I wish General Flynn had fought the charges, as his new lawyer is, rather than pleading guilty before.
What do you think happens with all of this? What's your best guess? Do you believe that Judge Sullivan is likely to say, okay, fine, the Justice Department has decided to drop prosecution, charges dismissed?
I think so. I would be amazed. It's very unusual for a judge to force a prosecution to keep going.
This whole thing is wildly unusual, isn't it, Professor? I mean, the whole thing, the idea of trying to withdraw a guilty plea and then the Justice Department reversing itself, is all of this going to have to wait until we get that Durham report about the whole origins of the collusion investigation?
I could see this taking a little while. Usually judges rule on this pretty quickly. And again, usually they're checking to make sure that everybody understands what's going on and there was no kind of shenanigans involved. It's how, as you say, Michael, everything about this has been really unusual. I do think that the Durham report, I don't think the Flynn investigation and all of this is going to give us the answers to these broader questions. There are a lot of actual questions raised by some of the materials that the Justice Department released. Why then was the Flynn investigation
There's also questions, big questions, about oral arguments yesterday. They were virtual oral arguments, of course, with the Supreme Court and President Trump and his tax returns. We'll get to that and more on the Medved Show.
Friends, have you had a chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College? Faithandfreedom.com. They're the leading forum and think tank in the nation for the study and application of faith and freedom. In fact, Michael Medved visits Grove City College every year to be a part of their annual conference. He's spoken on a vast array of topics to hundreds of people at that conference. In fact, as you may know, he broadcasts this very show from their campus every year when he's there. It's always such an amazing time. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But we here at the Medved Show encourage you to visit their website. They have all their past conferences available. You can watch Medved's talk along with many other engaging talks. Dr. Paul Kangor, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ryan Anderson, Robbie George, and many, many more. Visit them today at faithandfreedom.com to see the wonderful lectures from some of the brightest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com. That's faithandfreedom.com. Most of us have been spending a lot more time at home recently. Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on Giza Elegance MyPillows, Roll and Go Anywhere Pillows, Duvet Covers, Giza Pillowcases, Bolster Pillows, and Neck Pillows. Just go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com and use promo code MEDVED or call 1-800-320-6280. If you order Mike Lindell's book, your entire MyPillow order will ship for free, plus he'll give you a $25 gift card for your next purchase. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on pillows, duvets, and more from MyPillow. Call 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280. Or go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED. MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Show. Proud to have a few minutes more with the very distinguished Professor John Yoo, former aide to President George W. Bush. He is a visiting scholar at American Enterprise Institute and a visiting fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University. Professor Yoo, I was utterly fascinated by reading some of the oral arguments yesterday before the Supreme Court, and apparently court watchers are saying that these two cases, they're looking at cases with, on the one hand, prosecutors trying to get hold of some of President Trump's tax returns, and in the other case, the Congress of the United States, the House of Representatives, and the likes of Adam Schiff trying to get hold of President Trump's tax information. And it did appear to me, listening to some of the questioning by the justices and some of the presentations by the contestants here, and President Trump represented in this case by private attorneys because it's a private matter, that it's possible that these two cases may have very different results, don't you think?
This is, I'm happy to say, one of the cases where having a good lawyer makes all the difference. Because before the cases were argued yesterday, I would have thought that the House would have an easy win with a constitutional right to get President Trump's tax returns. This is kind of handled by Clinton versus Jones. I don't know if you remember that case, Michael. That was
sure
Paula Jones's case against Bill Clinton. Yeah, we all remember that case, I thought. And there, Bill Clinton said, I have an immunity. I can't be sued while I'm president about something that happened before I was president. And the Supreme Court unanimously said no. And so here you have a case where Congress is saying, we want to see your tax returns from before you were president. And in the past, the Supreme Court has said, Congress has a right to subpoena any information on any subject on which it might pass legislation. And it's also said, and we're not going to ask too many hard questions about what Congress is really up to. We're not going to delve behind and see what the Congress's real intent was. But that, when you listen to the oral argument, the Supreme Court, a majority of the justices, now sounds like they're going to hold off and stop Congress from getting that. And the reason why is they kept asking the House's lawyer, what's your limiting principle? What stops you from just asking anybody about any of their private information? What if you want the president's medical records? What if you want the president's telephone records? What's from before he was president? What's going to stop you? On the other hand, I would have thought from the cases that New York City's lawsuit, being brought by the Manhattan DA, Cyrus Vance, was a sure loser, because here you have a state official interfering with the president. Right? Usually federal officials are protected from state lawsuits and state investigations until after they're out of office. But here it sounded like the court was saying, we might allow that prosecutor, as you said, Michael, in your lead-up, we may allow the prosecutors to go forward. Courts should be careful to make sure they don't interfere with the president and his job. But no president can be free of the criminal process for things they did before they held office. Amazing.
It is. And it seems like, well, first of all, what I found fascinating was, as you put out, the lawyers for the House were so poorly prepared, because the one point they had to prove is that getting this material from President Trump's former accountants and from Deutsche Bank, where he had a lot of business dealings with Deutsche Bank and had taken loans from them, they had to prove that there was some legislative purpose to it, because the House does not have a constitutional function to just investigate people, right? Its job is to legislate. And they kept getting asked, well, what's the legislative purpose? Why do you need to have President Trump's tax returns and his personal financial records going back 10 years to draw legislation for the future? And they had no answer at all, did they?
Michael, you would have made a great Supreme Court justice if you had gone a different route, because that's exactly the question to ask, and you're right. They had no answer. And you would think you would be prepared for that. I think part of the problem is the lawyer for the House went in, and he was so confident because if you read the cases, they're all on his side. But he did not, you know, realize that courts shifted here, and they are becoming tougher because – you know what? You and me, everybody's watching, we all know what Congress really wants to do is get their hands on the record, make them these records public right away and embarrass the president for political reasons. They're not really going
and
to.
And give Biden a win in the election. That's
there's
also a clear political purpose, right?
Exactly. They're not going to change the tax laws over this. They're not going to change money laundering over this. It's, as you say, it's really about a political purpose. Everyone in D.C. knows it. All of the House really should have done a better job proving that they had some, as you said, a legitimate purpose to pass legislation about this, and they couldn't.
Yeah. Now, the other thing about this is I'm a great admirer of Chief Justice Roberts, and one of the things that I know is that he cares deeply about the prestige and the standing of the court. He's very, very much sees it as his job to defend the court and to keep it solid. And I would imagine that Chief Justice Roberts likes the idea of handing back a split decision, because it's a way of saying to people, hey, wait a minute, we have two new Trump appointees, but they're going to vote together. We're going to vote together as a body and throw out the congressional desire for material and yet allow the prosecutors. Now, the point about allowing the prosecutors to get this material in the Southern District of New York and Cyrus Vance, they would keep it secret, right? They would have to, under the law, not release any of that material to the public, though if the House got it, they almost certainly would. That is a key difference, isn't it?
Oh, yes. There was a lot of emphasis, as you point out, Michael, in the case about the Manhattan DA, that this was grand jury information. It was an investigation, and that information is usually kept secret. Would be a crime, actually, to release a criminal violation, to leak it, although sometimes it does get leaked. But as you say, there's no similar restriction on the House. The thing about Chief Justice Roberts, you make a great point. He's really worried about the court being pulled into partisan politics. On the other hand, he also has a lot of confidence in the judiciary. And this is something you've seen in lots of cases before. You know, past courts would say, we can't really tell if Congress is really up to real legislative purpose or really it's politics. Chief Justice Roberts is a lot more confident that the court can tell. And you could see that with the justices here. A lot of them are very suspicious of Congress. One other last point is also President Trump had an unlikely ally, and Chief Justice Roberts had an unlikely ally here, which was Justice Breyer. Justice Breyer was actually one of the aggressive justices questioning the House. And that's because he dissented in Clinton versus Jones. He thought that Bill Clinton should have been immune from Paula Jones's lawsuit until after his presidency was over. He actually was quite prescient. He said these lawsuits could handicap a presidency. They could become all-consuming. And he turned out to be right. And I think he's being principled. He's worried about that happening to President Trump, although I'm sure Justice Breyer can't stand President Trump.
Well, again, the Supreme Court, Justice Ginsburg, back from the hospital, she was one of the people hearing these oral arguments. She's 87 years old. Justice Breyer, I believe, is 83. The one thing I cannot even imagine is what would happen to an already explosive presidential election if, for one reason or another, retirement, let's hope not illness or, God forbid, death, President Trump, in the middle of the campaign, was handed another Supreme Court vacancy. That would keep you very busy, I know, John, you, and keep all of us very busy and on edge. I so much appreciate always your coming on the show, and I always learn from it. John, you is a professor at California School of Law, and he is also a visiting scholar at American Enterprise Institute and a visiting fellow at the Hoover Institution. We've posted some of his latest columns at our website at michaelmedved.com. Coming back, we're going to be talking about a new venture launched by three leading conservative business thinkers. Steve Forbes, Art Laffer, the author of The Laffer Curve, and advisor to President Trump, author of Trumponomics, Steve Moore. They have put together a group called the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. And maybe that's a good antidote to the very, very gloomy pronouncements today by Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve. We will get to Steve Moore. We'll also be talking to John Fund about an effort to totally remake American elections permanently and basically to get rid of in-person voting. Is that a prescription for fraud or a natural high-tech solution? Or is it low-tech solution to an ongoing national problem? We will get to all of that and more speculation about a civil war, which, God forbid, will not afflict this greatest nation on God's green earth.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.